You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Tone Mob Podcast. But this is not just another episode of the podcast. This episode is with my friend Ryan from 60 Cycle Hum, another guitar podcast and friend of this show and just all around great internet dude. He was my guide at my first NAMM. And speaking of my first NAMM, we are recreating something very special that happened there back in 2016. Basically, what happened is I hit the NAMM floor, and the very first thing I did was go with Ryan to interview Paul Reed Smith. Yes, Mr. PRS himself. We sat down, we kind of threw our own spin, our own little goofy thing into the interview format, and it was the first time I had chatted with Paul, and we had a really really good time. When Ryan and I realized we were both going to be at Gear Fest and Paul was going to be there, we were like, well, we've just got to recreate that. Somehow we're still both in this industry after all this time. And he is, of course, a titan of this industry. So it was a big, big treat to get to recreate kind of a little nostalgic piece of content. So here is the video version. If you're just listening to this, you might want to slide over to YouTube to check it out. The link to that will be in the show notes. I had a great time with Paul. Ryan had a great time with Paul. We're joking around. We're having a blast. And I think you're really going to enjoy this slightly off-the-wall conversation with Mr. Paul Reed Smith. So let's get into it. Let's go.
Hi. I'm Vincent, and I'm here to talk about the Maris Mercury X. My dad's always going on and on about how cool Maris is. He really went off on one about the Mercury X the other day. He said something about a 4,800 hertz sample rate and 99 preset locations and 33 banks, and something along the lines of the most advanced reverb pedal ever devised by man? That's all true, but I only care about one thing. This pedal sounds sick! So make sure you check out the Mercury X and all the other fine products at Maris.us, as well as fine retailers worldwide. Alright, Dad, now can I have my talkie?
How exactly do artists get their music on Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer, Tidal, all these services? How in the world do you get your music there? Well, in the past, you had to use something called a record label. But these days, you can use DistroKid. DistroKid is the absolute easiest way to get your music up on streaming services, and it's the most affordable way to do so. Not only do plans start at $22.99 for the entire year, that's less than $2 a month, DistroKid also does not take a cut of your streaming revenue, unlike some other services out there. Even better if you sign up by going to tonemob.com/distrokid. That's tonemob.com/distrokid. One more time, that's tonemob.com/distrokid. You'll get 30% off. That's right, 30% off. They're already extremely reasonable prices. So go to tonemob.com/distrokid and get your music out there. Hi. I don't think I'll talk any louder than that, probably.
I
swear to God I'm not going to yell.
I'm always a loud guy. All right, there we go. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, we're here. Hey, everybody.
Where are we?
We're at Sweetwater Gear Fest 2023. It's Blake and I from the Tone Mob. And, of course, Paul Reed Smith. How are you feeling, Paul?
I'm
here with the Tone Mob.
The Tone Mob and 60 Cycle Hum.
Yep.
We're going to double publish this thing so you can watch it on both channels.
So is it 60 Cycle Hum and the Tone Mob simultaneously?
Simultaneously.
Yep. Two different media outlets together again with Paul.
Simultaneously. Okay, so that would mean I'm Paul and Reed and Smith all simultaneously.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, yep, okay. Yep.
I'm Ryan. This is Paul. This is Blake. This is Reed. I'm Ryan. This is Smith. This is Blake.
You just outdid me. That's great. That's really good. That's good. That's good. That was good.
So I don't know if you remember, Paul, but we did this with you 7-8 years ago.
2016.
It was Blake's first
NAMM. It was pre-COVID.
My first NAMM ever.
It was my second
My first
NAMM ever.
Interview at NAMM ever. My first...
Did I say something wrong to you? Your first interview?
Yes, this is revenge.
It wasn't my first interview. It was my first NAMM interview. But no, you said all the right things.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I remember us having a great time, and the comments section was divided because we were pretty rambunctious. We came in with this attitude like, hey, we don't know if we're going to do this very long. Might as well burn some bridges and have some fun.
Why was it divided?
Because half the comment section was like, why were you so mean to Paul? And the other half of the comment section was like, why was Paul so mean to you?
And we were like, none of that is true.
As my mother says, Paul, you and your aggressive humor.
I mean, sorry.
Look, I've had so many bad things happen in my life that all I do is make jokes all the time. It's terrible.
It's the only way to get through it.
It's the only... Well, if you're not having a bad phone call, somebody calling you to tell you you've got a problem, I think you should be playful. My wife told me if I wasn't silly, it was a deal breaker. And she was talking about whether she'd marry me or not. And I was like, you want silly? Oh, you have no idea what you've asked for.
Yeah.
Oh, she gets silly.
We're going to do the full silly.
The full silly.
But I remember just having a great time hanging out with you.
Yeah, it was fun.
We had a fun time. No matter what the comment section thought what was going on, I remember having a great time. And when we found out that you were going to be here, and I was like, Blake's going to be here? Let's do it again.
Let's do it again. Okay,
so here
good.
We are. Blake, do you want to
I'm
this?
The divider between the two of you. Is that what it is?
Last time you were the meat in the sandwich. Is
right.
No. It's a grilled cheese sandwich. I'm the cheese in the grilled cheese.
You're right. He remembers better than sandwich. I do.
Well, because I feel like the cheese in a grilled cheese sandwich.
You were using one of my analogies that you got wrong.
Well, it's not the first time. I'm sure I've ripped things from you before
I did incorrectly.
So. Yeah.
But the cheese in the grilled cheese is definitely one of my... That's not like the white in the middle of the Oreo or something.
That just seems like kind of weird to say. I won't say that one.
I don't think in this scenario you're the white in the middle of the Oreo, unless it's a vanilla Oreo.
That was out of bounds. Comment session. Here we go.
Comment section. Was that out of bounds?
Was about anything guitars?
Yeah, well, we're holding the brand new thing here, the new hotness.
Why don't you tell us about it? What do we got here?
It's a guitar.
Paul trying to keep us on track.
It's a guitar.
Good luck.
Made by...
Look.
Okay.
The problem with these kinds of pickups that make this kind of sound is that they hum so loud that in some clubs the hum is louder than the guitar. So we have
the 60 cycle hum.
It's a big problem.
It's not just that; it's a buzz too.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a meeting and we said, well, if we're going to make a guitar that goes after this character of sound, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to make them hum canceling. But the problem is stacks in general don't work.
Mm-hmm.
They work, but they don't sound as good as the original thing.
I wanted something that sounded better.
And there had been proof in the industry that it was possible. Like a jazz bass has two pickups on at the same time. They're in humbucking, and it sounds like a single coil. So it is possible mm-hmm. to do. So we did that research and came up with those pickups. And let me tell you something. That's a very, very complicated piece of tooling. I mean, just the fact that the high E string, you know, doesn't get stuck over there.
Mm-hmm.
God knows how many other things we did, but there's a reason for all this material in there.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a fully new pickup. Like it's not an off the shelf part at all.
Oh no, there's nothing generic out of a catalog on this thing. Nothing.
Now you went with bar magnets instead of like normal round pull pieces. I'm assuming there was a reason for that.
Yeah, because I didn't want if they were round, I would have had twice the string pull. There would have been four pickups mm-hmm. underneath here. I wanted half the string pull per side.
Got it.
So that it was this only the amount of string pull of a single round magnet.
Now there's,
And there's little pieces of steel in between.
That's what's in between. I was about to ask that. There's little slugs in between there.
It changes the inductance of the pickup. It sounds great.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds like magic.
It's kind of like your shirt.
My shirt.
It's kind of like, I don't know what it means, but it sounds magic.
Right.
It's provocative.
Science is real, mm-hmm. and it's magic.
At the same time. Time out. Magnets.
Science,
how do they work?
Science is real. I mean, who would say science is fake? I mean, you got to really think about this for a minute. You wore the shirt.
I wore. It's a band shirt. It's for They Might Be Giants. I went and saw them play a month or so ago. Oh, they were fantastic.
Oh, that's why you were wearing the shirt.
Yeah, that's why I was at the show. But I got stopped in the Home Depot parking lot. And a guy was like, it's crazy that you have to wear a shirt like that these days. And I was like, hey, I don't wear the shirt as a political statement. I work for a band that I like.
Did you tell him that?
No, I was just like, yeah. And then I got in my car and left.
Mm-hmm. You could have stood up for yourself for a second.
It's not Ryan Stout.
I don't think he was attacking me. I didn't need to stand up for myself.
I was attacking you. Go on. Now, what's the next thing? What's the next thing?
So, this is why I have fond memories of
exactly.
our interview eight years ago.
You didn't change. I didn't change.
No,
COVID
I don't want to
changed
change.
Us.
We're just rolling the same way we always
so what, do. So what's the model name and number of this? We haven't mentioned
that. NF53 for the narrow field. And we spent a lot of time on every little detail, whatever it be, neck shape or body design or the pickups or the way it's wired. And God knows how many other things we worked really hard on, and we're happy with the instrument. We took it to Nashville and let all the Nashville guys try it, and we got pretty much 100% more than acceptance. People's like, uh-oh, no hum, no noise, same tone, sounds thicker and bigger, go now.
I feel like an acceptance is a fairly vanilla term to use if
now,
you're going to market this thing. I feel like
that's not
you
the way it works.
Throw an enthusiastic
now, hang on a minute. Now we'll go deep for a minute. It's very important. When ADATS came out, the whole market accepted it as a new way to recording. It got permission of the market.
Mm.
It doesn't have permission anymore.
That's what we're looking for here, permission.
Permission from the market. From your viewers to think that this is good enough that they'd actually spend the money.
Mm. That so actually that, goes
so
back to something we talked about.
So acceptance is a big deal. How many products come out that die in people's arms? And it's happened to us. We came out with the NF53. Not the NF53. We came out with the... NF3, and we got Guitar of the Year from all the magazines across the world as the Guitar of the Year. Couldn't give them away. Had to quit making them. Jimmy Herring picked one up. You can't find one now.
Right.
So, I mean, he got us acceptance. That acceptance in my world is not a vanilla term.
It's a big deal.
To use an Oreo cookie term. It's really important. I want acceptance. I want acceptance of this video that the people thought it was informative and entertaining or whatever it is. I don't want it to be like most CDs where people turn it off in the middle of first song and say, yeah, listen to it. It's not cool. I want, you know, Dark Side of the Moon got worldwide acceptance.
Right. It's been accepted.
Yeah, well, that would be a very generic term for a very powerful thing that happened.
Could we call it exceptional?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, actually, a little wordplay there?
Actually,
exceptional, spelled with an A.
It is exceptional.
Right.
I think the record is exceptional. It's extraordinary, actually. Mm-hmm. Extraordinary. You want to go down this road? We keep going.
I'm not sure which
road
it is.
I'll go down roads. I'll go down trails. I'll get on the freeway with you, wherever we're going. I'm on board.
What about somebody help me? This is a problem. I need help.
Send help.
Can somebody please get me out of this interview?
We locked the door.
No, don't stuck. Touch me. I have space issues. You can't do that.
You folded my hat earlier.
I did fold your hat. Yeah. You don't have space issues. I'm the one with space issues.
Oh, we're huggers.
No. We're squeezers.
Don't touch me.
That's going to be the quote from the video. I'm going to make the title. Don't touch me.
Yeah. Actually, it's interesting. When you're in Japan, the way you acknowledge the other person is by bowing. It was an honor to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
In America, you're hugging your buddy to tell them that they're loved and accepted. I mean, it's very, very normal to take all the jokes out of it. But all societies have a little bit different way of doing it, you know? And have you ever noticed a non-hugger?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They'll hug everything.
They will.
Yeah.
Yep. get a few shots
in
them.
The hugger gets drunk, he ain't hugging
anybody. They have to get all their hugs out once they get their inhibitions out. Yeah.
So are they going to ask me another question about guitars? I doubt it. Okay.
Why would we?
I don't know.
That's the silliest thing.
Are you ready for your questions that are not about guitars?
I have questions that are not about guitars.
I want about guitars.
I have one about guitars, and I have...
I'll ask questions about guitars. I don't have any questions that are not guitar related.
You don't?
I don't.
You got those out of your system?
I do.
Okay. It's just like who's on first.
I have to save mine for last, but I do have a question about the wiring in this.
Yeah.
So
it has wires in it. You're right.
Are there wires in it?
Yeah, there are wires.
Or is it, you know, one of them newfangled things?
Yes, it's a wired guitar.
It's a wired guitar. Go on. What's the question?
Were there any considerations that you took in designing that harness? Because I'm learning more about that stuff lately, you know, and how they work as different filter circuits, et cetera, et cetera. Or did you go more traditional with it? What did you do there?
It's very traditional with a lot of very gentle, sophisticated tweaks, mm-hmm. exactly what the value of the pot is. There's so many things about it that were gentle but sophisticated tweaks to make sure the guitar sounded magic. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take but one thing to ruin a guitar. If the third fret's in the wrong place, you're done. It's mm-hmm. over. It doesn't take much.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, when you're wiring it, it's really important. The pot value is really important. Exactly how it was wired was we would make little teeny adjustments and then do a shootout, and little adjustments and do a shootout.
What is the pot value?
It's not a straight value. You have to go measure it. I can't tell you exactly what it is, but I know I can tell you we worked on it for months.
So it's not just an off-the-shelf, like 250 or 500 or something? Wow.
Look at that.
I didn't know you could get in between with pots. I didn't know
sure you
could.
You can take do custom a pot, pots. You can take a pot, and you can dumb it down to the right value. In a Silver Sky, we put a 300K pot in and we dumb it down to 274K because that's exactly which was in John's original guitars.
Wow. I just learned something after almost a decade of doing guitar content. I just buy off the shelf parts. In my mind, there's 250, there's 500, and there's 1 meg.
Well,
and that's
if you're
going
to build a lot of guitars.
That's not the way it works, though. You can buy a 250K pot, but some of them go on and some jump on the go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You can't just buy an off-the-shelf part. It doesn't work that way. It's like having an off-the-shelf purple T-shirt.
It is off the shelf,
though.
You
can't just buy an off-the-shelf purple T-shirt. Come on.
Well, I have to buy off-the-shelf parts because I don't have factories and stuff.
Wait a minute. You can buy different value pots, and you can dumb a 500K down to 250 all day long. All you do is put a 500K resistor.
Oh, okay.
It's 250K the next
second. Now I understand.
Are you following it now?
Now I am. I just caught up.
I was wondering, like, why isn't Ryan – come on, Ryan. Come on. You've been doing this a long time.
The term in all the audio industry is slugging the pot. So what happens in these –
That means a different thing
pieces.
In California.
Come on, Blake. We're having a serious conversation
here. That was really good. I got to think about that. That was really good.
That's the name of my new doom band.
is that like adding extra THC to the pot?
I think
you
so.
You slug the pot?
Yeah. It's when you put the resin in there. I don't know.
Get it sticky like a slug.
That's right. You take – blonde Lebanese hash oil, and you drip it on the pot.
We're
then you
getting
smoke.
Back
that
on topic.
It?
That's my understanding.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You slug the pot. That's great. That's not what I meant. So, slugging the pot. What that means is, in the audio industry, they used to have 600 ohm outputs and inputs on all the audio gear, and they would have to put a resistor on it to make it exactly the right output impedance and input impedance. That was slugging it. So that's just an engineering term for the custom builders of audio equipment, and I got it from them.
Very nice.
But everybody knows a 250K pot sounds different than a 500.
Yeah. Well, not everybody knows.
Have a Strat and you put a 500K pot in, it's going to be brighter than if you put a 250 in it. And that's commonly known. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Even
I know
with
that.
The purple shirt, you should know that.
I had comments on one of the videos that I did. I swapped a Jazzmaster style guitar from 500 up to the traditional 1 meg. And people in the comments were like, that's not going to make any difference. I'm like, you can hear in the video that it did make a difference. It's like super bright now. Like, I don't know what to tell you. You didn't listen.
In an original broadcaster or Esquire, the switch down is the tone control disconnected. In the middle, the tone control is hooked up. It's not anywhere near as bright. And the other way is a capacitor ground that makes, gets rid of all the high end. The original way the Fender's single pickup guitars were wired that did a version of that.
Oh, look at that.
So you're right. The internet will tell Leo Fender he didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
That's great.
They actually do that. That's the sad part.
There's
what
they will say that
Leo Fender didn't know what
they
he was
will
doing.
Say
right. I'm sorry, the Stratocaster, the Telecaster, completely designed a state of grace. He didn't play guitar,
right? Mm-hmm.
But what a genius move to be able to interview people to figure out what the future of the guitar industry was. Come on,
I almost wonder if like we should only play guitars made by people who don't play guitar. Like it's like
Ted McCarty didn't play guitar.
I was gonna say that's what most of us do.
Without me playing guitar, I would be clueless about it. I'm good at interviewing people. And Ted McCarty used to interview all the artists in New York once a year, and all the artists would go to Leo's shop and he would interview them about what they wanted. And I think that that's brilliant, but I think Joel Danzig from Hammer said that when Leo designed the Stratocaster, it was a state of grace. I think he's right. Mm-hmm. It's just, and by the way, they were done with Strats for a while. When they were making Jazz Masters and Jazz Jaguars and all that stuff, the Strat was out of business till Hendrix picked one up. And then things changed a little bit.
It seemed like Strats became a little bit more popular for a while.
For a minute.
Les Pauls were kind of out of business till this guy Slash picked one up. That changed a little bit.
Maybe James Page, too,
maybe when John Mayer and Carlos picked up, and Howard Leese and Al DiMeola and McCarty and David Grissom, all those guys picked up, PRS's things changed.
There are so many names in this world, and we could list them all.
Speaking of artists, I have a question. So when you've obviously worked with some of the biggest
Somebody
artists on the planet.
Get me out of this.
This is a real question. This is a real question.
Okay, go on.
Yeah. When you're starting with an artist for the first time, you're sitting down with them to start designing a guitar.
That was so much fun. Go on.
What is one of the first questions you ask them?
What do they want?
Just what are their straight goals? Up?
Yeah, of mm-hmm. course. What do you want? But it's not that blatant. It's like, all right, Miles, what do you want?
Come on,
it's
Miles.
Not
like, tell no, me what no, you
yeah,
want.
It's not, it's not like
thing.
That.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Miles, let's work on a design together. Okay. And then we start getting into it. And, you know, Beverly, who's in charge of our artist relations, is very graceful about starting the beginnings of those conversations. She knows what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, what do you want? How can we help you? How can we be your guitar company? We want to make tools for you to make a living on. And in the end, other people believe in your vision and they'll buy them too. Look, when we released the Silver Sky, John Mayer had set it up. We were getting 1,000 likes a minute. Not 1,000 views a minute, 1,000 likes a minute. It blew up our website. It was over. Shut down. Just shut it right down.
Right. The servers are red hot.
He was doing the whole thing off his phone without an assistant.
Right.
The question is he that good? You know what the answer is? Yeah. With that kind of social media stuff, he's that good.
He's good at self-marketing, absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying he's not good at guitar.
That was simplistic.
Yeah.
Self-marketing. He's brilliant.
Brilliant.
At using this format to be able to get people information that they desire.
We'll use your word, acceptable.
No, acceptance.
Acceptance.
I didn't say acceptable. You're barely acceptable.
That could also be the title, barely acceptable.
Barely acceptable.
Yeah, that could work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paul, I've got one more question for you.
Yeah.
I've been dying to ask you this
question. I know,
question.
Here it comes.
I know,
this is the one.
This is the one I've been waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
here you go.
What is your favorite kind of pizza?
We're good to see if it changed from last time.
I said either pepperoni or Mariposa last time,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just going to say straight, really good slice of cheese.
All right.
Just slice of cheese.
All right. I like to do these updates once in a while because people do change their opinions occasionally.
You know, there's something about a slice of cheese pizza that just hits completely different than all other pieces of pizza.
That's right.
It has a completely different flavor.
Yeah. I mean, I like it with pineapple on it, but no.
Yeah.
Slice of cheese, that's how you test them. It's the way.
So I'm going to wind up from my question now.
Okay.
I like to spend time on the internet where the trolls hang out. And one
under
of those,
the bridge.
Yes, mm-hmm. under the bridge. Mm-hmm. One of the places I hang out is on Reddit in a group called r/guitarcirclejerk. And I told them that I was going to interview you, and I asked them what I should ask you. And I got a lot of people.
Did you just say what you
said? Yeah,
you
heard that correctly.
Yes, you heard all the words correctly.
That hurt.
This is.
That really hurt.
Our guitar circle jerk?
No! Ryan, stop.
I'm hurting him. Just
edit, edit, go on, go.
A lot of them brought up the Tonewood debate. And so I want to.
There's no debate.
I want to steer.
There's no debate.
I know. I want to steer the question a little
Actually,
bit.
Actually, there
here.
Is a debate, but in my head, there's no debate.
On the internet, there's always a debate. I know that was it a video or an article that you were part of a while back, kind of blew up on the internet. You talking about Tonewood, and I got the sense that your point was, of course, the material the guitar is made out of matters. Yeah. Of course it matters.
Of course it does.
I think the spirit of what a lot of people think of in that direction is more, does the species of the tree really matter that much? When, especially considering that guitars can be made out of other materials and things like that.
Yeah.
My twist on this question, because we could sit here and debate all day, mahogany, maple, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Are there any woods?
I would leave.
I wouldn't want to do it.
I would leave.
Want to do that. Are there any woods that are not tone woods?
Ooh.
Balsa wood.
Balsa wood.
Hasn't Gibson used balsa?
Balsa wood.
Balsa? There's your answer. Well, it's certainly not structurally
sound vitae, enough. Lignum vitae.
Lignum vitae.
I don't even know what that is.
It's the stuff they used to make the bearings and ships out of so the water didn't come in with the propeller shaft.
So what would be the tonal characteristics of balsa or a really lightwood or lignum stuff that's really heavy?
Lignum vitae. I can't tell you what balsa wood is. I only assume that it would be really bad because it has no strength. It's right. really flexible.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, they use it in surfboards because it's light.
Yeah, that's, I'm familiar yeah, with balsa. I understand. So,
and they use it in model airplanes too. Because it's light.
That's how I know about it. I used to make model airplanes.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
I was a kid too. You know, I actually didn't have white hair with a bald head at some point.
I figured that's just how you were just.
That's the way I, that's the way I came yeah. out the chute. That's yeah, yeah. great.
What was your preferred brand of glue when you were making model airplanes?
You know, I'm going to. It was always DuPont Duco. That's what DuPont. Everybody.
Yeah.
DuPont Duco. That's what everybody used.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Look. I'm going to answer your question sideways.
I like it.
All right.
Okay. I think it should be the Home Depot challenge. I think that you should take all the guitar makers and a bunch of the trolls that think they know how to make guitars and go into Home Depot and make a guitar out of the parts in Home Depot.
I love that.
And I've been thinking about doing it, but we're never going to do it because it's kind of a waste of time. Did you know that a lot of 2x4s are made out of Adirondack spruce? They're made out of red spruce.
I've never even heard that species before.
Adirondack spruce. It's the most coveted wood for acoustic guitars you can get. Mm-hmm. You can buy 2x4s at Home Depot made out of that stuff.
I just built a shed out of that stuff, apparently.
Yeah, well, good. You should have glued it together and made an acoustic guitar out of it. So to me, you can. It's not about exactly what wood species is. Although I had a choice when I was a young man to either trust the old guitar makers and use what they use or spend 10 years testing the woods and then start over again. I didn't have the 10 years to give.
No one does.
Well, actually, we've gone through all the species pretty much at this point. So we have given it. But what's fascinating for me is that, you know, I had to trust them and then go from there. And I think it was a good decision because I didn't have the 10 years to, you know, experiment with all the woods. And when you're doing it, if you have to make it exactly identical, only change one wood to find out what the impact is. Mm-hmm. So it's not so easy. At one point, we made two guitars exactly at the same time, exactly out of the same woods, exactly the same, and they sounded different. And we switched the parts, and they sounded the same. Not on the ones that we switched. When we switched the parts, the guitar still sounded the same. And that was fascinating to me that the wood did make a difference.
Mm.
Now, if you had that experience, in my old shop. We were like, why does this one sound this way and that sound way? It must be the parts. We switch them. Didn't make change anything, which was fascinating. Mm. But I've had some experiences that tell me that it does make a difference. And quite frankly, I'll end it with this story. Stradivari, they always go, you know, the reason his violin sound goes so good was the finish. And you hear that for years. Mm-hmm. The reason it sounds so good is that there was more fungus in his instruments than other ones. The reason is because you find uric acid in the wood, which they did because they tanned everything with sheep's urine back there. And that, in those times, that was the common chemical. This, that, and the other. The thing that really bothers me is nobody ever says the reason Stradivarius sounds so good is because the old man knew what he was doing. They never say it. It makes me crazy. I don't understand. And I'm telling you that as if there was more fungus in his shop down than the guy up the street. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. I think he would have a field day if he was alive right now. All these private stock colors and everything else. That was not available at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's available now. And I think he would go nuts. Look, clearly, he understood how to tune those boxes. Mm-hmm. He understood how to get the amount of bow energy to turn into sound better than everybody else. As Zach Perlman said, the reason I play a Stradivarius is because when I play pianissimo, when I play really quiet, they can hear everything I did in the back corner of the concert hall without a microphone. And to me, it does make a difference. And to me, the woods do make a difference. And there's too many thousands of examples. The problem with it doesn't make a difference is a single-dimensional thinking. There's so many other
there's so many other components. And I want to.
Is that a swamp ash old telly or is that an older old telly?
Right.
Oh, the swamp ash awards are worth more money. Why? Maybe they sound different. I have no idea. But don't even get me started about, you know, something. I'm just going to, your steam just comes.
It's going.
I mean, don't take one of the major pieces of the puzzle away from me because you think it's not important. By the way, if you came into the private stock room and I was going to give you a private stock, you'd pick out which woods do you think sound better, Paul, after all the bullshit that came out of your mouth on the internet.
I'd probably pick the color that I like.
Okay, okay. Can somebody get me out of this?
Okay, I want to.
We're done. This is over.
I want to put a pin on that, and then you can agree or disagree with what I'm about to say, because believe it or not, I think I agree with you on Tonewood, because you mentioned Stradivarius. Like, what about his skill as a builder? And from what I've gathered from talking to various builders over the years, like a factory guitar that's, you know, a $400 factory guitar is a $400 factory guitar, and they're just grabbing pieces of wood. But when you talk to a builder that's really spending the time with each piece, when they pick up a piece of wood, they can tap it and they can hear how it rings, and they know it doesn't really matter. The species doesn't really matter, but the density, the weight, the resonance, those things that they can feel with their hands and experience as a qualified builder, as an experienced builder, as a builder that's found acceptance, they can make these informed creative decisions as to what's going to build the guitar that they have in mind, what's going to make a guitar that's going to feel and sound a certain way. And people are going to fight in the comments like, well, after you put distortion and noise gates compressors, does it really sound that different?
Not through your pedal board.
But I'll say what I've noticed is that guitars of different woods, guitars of different builds, guitars of different styles, they feel different.
Okay, but great guitars are not. It's not about the money. In my time at Dying, it was played with a fiberboard guitar, a Jan Electra.
Well, they all have different feels.
I saw him do that live, and my jaw was on the floor. They knew how to make a good guitar.
Yeah.
All right, so look, can I teach you something?
Teach me.
Take your microphone, push the button, and pull it out, and we're
goodbye.
Thank you for that. We are brought to you today by Sweetwater, specifically the Gear Exchange. You may have heard about this. This is a place where you can go to buy and sell your used gear. Maybe you got a pedal over there that's just kind of collecting dust. Maybe there's something you've been eyeing from the Sweetwater catalog. Well, right now is a great time to turn that unused gear into something you're actually going to use. Even better, if you sell on the gear exchange, you can keep 100% of the sale as long as you choose a Sweetwater gift card as your payout method. That is not too shabby, because let's be honest, most of this buying and selling we do is just to fund new gear purchases, and that is a great way to reach a wide variety of customers and keep 100% in your pocket, or rather, on your pedal board. So go check out the Sweetwater Gear Exchange and turn that unused gear into something that's actually going to help you write that next huge riff.
Hello there. I'd like to introduce you to your new best friend, the Chase Bliss Audio Lossy. Lossy is a collaboration between Chase Bliss and Good Hertz. It's meant to give you some control over those weird digital artifacts that come with very compressed audio. You're hearing it right now. All the changes that are taking place are strictly coming from my playing dynamics. I'm just interacting with the pedal and letting it do its thing. And some true stereo goodness. If you'd like some more details about Lossy, I'd invite you to head over to chasebliss.audio.com.
One last thing before we totally sign off here, I just want to remind you that if you do any shopping at Stringjoy, that's Stringjoy Guitar Strings made in Nashville, that will help me out as well. As I've said for years, I'm heavily involved in that company. And I really do think they're making the best products on the market. So if you would like to try custom strings, go to tonemob.com/stringjoy and check them out today. I seriously love what the team down there is doing. I help them out with all kinds of things. And by you supporting them, you are also supporting me as well. And hey, you need some strings, so why not get some custom strings just for your guitar and playing style. Again, the link for that is tonemob.com/stringjoy, and that will take you right to their website, and you can do all your shopping through there, and that will help everyone involved out. So thank you very much. Talk to you next time. We are brought to you by the wonderful folks at Gun Street Wiring Shop. Yes, Gun Street Wiring Shop. I've talked about them before. I used to say based out of Bend, Oregon, but guess what? Sean moved to my neck of the woods. Sean's in Portland. Sean is awesome and has helped me with a bunch of stuff lately. And if you have wiring needs for your guitar, he can help you too. If you want to get weird with it, he can get weird. If you just need to spruce things up a little bit, there's your guy. He takes all the guesswork out of doing your guitar wiring, and he makes it simple, and his customer service is top-notch, and I can't say enough good things about Gun Street as a company. I really respect Sean and what he's all about, and the product is top-notch. I've got 3 different guitars that now have Gun Street harnesses in them, and I could not be happier. So go to GunStreetWiringShop.com and check them out.